DW.
Generally, we tend to focus our attention on animals that are charismatic, like dolphins and whales, or species we can actually see or eat. But rarely do we stop to appreciate other organisms and the bizarre creatures that also live in the ocean's depths. Well, someone who really does appreciate the weird and less charismatic of them is biologist and comedian Simon Watt.
Batfish. Batfish are fantastic. They sound like they should be like Batman or something. They are not heroes or dark knights. They are just ugly, ugly fish. The red-lipped batfish is a batfish that looks like it's really gone to town on the lipstick. It's really overdone the makeup. You also find, say, the pancake batfish, which, yeah, looks like a pancake. Not only is it flat, but it's kind of bubbly, like a crepe gone wrong.
And of all the strange underwater creatures, which is your favourite?
Well, one of my favourites, because everybody, as soon as they hear the word slug, thinks ugly, disgusting and slimy. But there's a group called the nudibranchs. And nudibranchs basically look like... Imagine if slugs are getting dressed up to go to the carnival, or maybe even to some kind of, like, I don't know, cyber rave kind of thing. They're these incredible, incredible colours. My favourite one is actually nicknamed the Spanish dancer nudibranch, a kind of sea slug. The Spanish dancer looks like a flamenco dancer, and if all it needs is a soundtrack. Basically, go and look this up online as soon as you can, and you'll be amazed by how they seem to flutter and dance in the oceans.
And if we're to look at the state of the world's oceans right now, how would you sum it up?
Not good is the simple answer. It's one of the things, I suppose, because the deep sea is so hard to reach and so hard to understand. Like, I'm sure many people have told you before, and you may have heard, that we know more about the moon, the surface of the moon, than we do in the vast oceans that we have by us. But it also means we don't understand all the damage we're doing. We know that the sea has got a good capacity for recovery. You can take an awful lot of biomass out of it and it comes back quickly. But it's not coming back, which goes to show the extent of the damage that we've done. Pollution, bad fishing techniques, climate change is going to be one of the big ones.
What are some of the less known but important species in our oceans?
Things in the oceans, well... As you talk about less known, I run the Ugly Animal Preservation Society, which you might remember from the election of the blobfish as officially the ugliest animal in the world. But we did that entirely to try and get people talking about the more kind of neglected species. And the blobfish is a very good example. Its proper name is what we call a fathead sculpin. And the name tells you all you really need to know about it. But our oceans are in a bad way. It's primarily because of, say, bad fishing practices, things like deep-sea trawling, where you destroy the environment by kind of ripping up the covering along the bottom of the ocean as well, and things like long line fishing, which tend to be very indiscriminate. Well, perhaps some people could say the most important creature that you'll find in the sea is one of the tiniest. We're talking about krill. And krill might be small, but they might be the biggest amount of biomass that you find in the oceans. At the height of summer, there's estimated to be 300 million tons of krill in the southern oceans. And that's why you get things like whales prepared to travel. That's why they will span the world to try and get to the southern oceans and make krill when the sun shines, really. They can make blooms that can be seen from space. They can turn the sea red. They're in such density at certain times of the year. So they're tiny, but they're the majority, and therefore they are needed to be the basis of a whole ecosystem. You wouldn't have whales if you didn't have these tiny creatures.
So a lot of these sea creatures we just never see. Why should we care about them? Why are they important?
Well, for a start, we not only don't see the creatures, but we also don't see the damage that we do. There was a survey only a few weeks ago showing that in the Mariana Trench, one of the deepest places on our planet, they are finding plastics. So there isn't a part of our planet that is no longer touched by humans. There's a great fear, actually, that what we call the Pleistocene, partly because it sounds funny. Well, the Pleistocene will be if the aliens, let's imagine, far off in the future, they come to look at planet Earth, they'll find no evidence of us, but they'll find it looking like it was shrink-wrapped, because there'll be that much plastic, a lair, just there waiting for them. So definitely turtles, that is one of the main ones being hit by that kind of thing, because they've got a habit of seeking out things that look like jellyfish, and plastic bags that are floating around do look like jellyfish. But if as these things break down, they're effectively releasing poisons, so it's affecting even the smallest of creatures, things like plankton, you name it, really. It's sort of a bit of an omni-shambles.
So this leaves me wondering, well, what can we do?
What can you do about the oceans? This is a tricky one. So first of all, make sure you don't eat any endangered fish. If you want to go one step further, avoid eating fish at all. A lot of people are vegetarians, but they eat fish. And that doesn't necessarily fit. That's an environment that needs our help as well. One reason to not eat fish is that even if the fish you're eating is good, the fishing practices that we use tend to condemn an awful lot of other ones. You get things like bycatch. The blobfish himself is a very good example. Apparently he tastes disgusting, but if he gets caught in the net, he's still caught in the net and gets thrown back. Sharks need to be able to move. So if they get caught in nets and things like this, they will suffocate and they will die because they have to keep moving to get fresh water going over their gills. Then you get things like longline fishing, which can catch hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fish that end up being thrown back. The practice as a whole is something that we have to change. How we do that is a tricky matter. We probably do have to talk politics and talk economics and talk technology, really, and find better ways and convince the people in power to find better ways too. DW.